Stay tuned for a word from the Lord. Thank you for joining us for this week's broadcast of A Word from the Lord. Today, Dr. Beach brings us an encouraging message entitled, Go. Here now is our teacher, Dr. Foley Beach, pastor and rector of the Holy Cross Anglican Church in Loganville, Georgia.
Well, good morning. Everybody looks awake today. That's good. Do you know that most Christians today, those who call themselves Christians, are actually living in disobedience to the Lord? Right now, all over America, churches are filling up with folks who are ignoring the commands of Jesus. Now, this morning is the sixth Sunday in the season of Easter, which means 5 weeks have gone by. The first Sunday's Easter, which comes to how many days? Anybody know? 35. There you go. What happened on the 40th day? Jesus ascended to the Father, and we call that Ascension Day. And before he ascended to the Father, Jesus gave this command: go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He has commanded his disciples to go and make disciples. This is the mandate of every follower of Jesus Christ. He says, go. Go. Each of us is to go into our world, whatever that sphere of world is, our sphere of influence that we call our world. Some people, it's just the living the way you live. You know, you live your life and there are people you impact. Some people are called to go cross-cultural, to go into a different culture, a different way of living, and go and be a vessel and ambassador of the gospel. Go. And then he says, go and make disciples. Did Jesus say go and make church members? That was a little weak. Did Jesus say go and make Christians? Did Jesus say go and make religious people? Did Jesus say go and make Anglicans? This is the mandate of every follower of Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples. Do you know that disciples weren't called Christians until Acts chapter 11? Acts chapter 1 through 10, they're referred to as disciples, and then this little town called Antioch, someone starts calling them Christians. And it took. And everybody's been called Christian ever since. But we forget, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a disciple. A disciple is a learner, a studier, modeler, a mentor. Disciples are livers. They live the faith. I call them livers. They live the faith out. So we're called to go make disciples of all nations. This means not just our kind, whatever that means to you. Not just our class, not just our race, not just our social group, not just our country, all nations. And then he says, baptizing them. Now, baptizing represents coming to faith in Jesus, starting that relationship with him, having one's sins forgiven, living a life of repentance, being born again of the Spirit. Remember, when one was born again, what would they do? They'd go get baptized. Baptizing and then teaching. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. You see, spiritual knowledge just doesn't come by magic. You know, the bishop just doesn't lay his hand on you and all of a sudden you've got all this spiritual knowledge. No, it has to be transferred. There's information that needs to be shared. I mean, think about the concept of being born again. Most of you have had babies or seen little babies. A baby is what? Almost helpless. And you have to teach that baby how to eat, how to drink, how to walk, how to talk. Well, it's the same in the spiritual life. When one is born again, you're a spiritual babe, and there are things you have to learn. There are things you have to be taught. If not, you're going to fail. You're going to die in your spiritual life. Even the Apostle Paul, after his conversion, went off for 3 years into the desert and was taught by the Lord. That's why in our church here, we have a ministry we call one-on-one discipleship. Church, a lot of churches do this, where someone meets with someone else and they teach the basics of the Christian faith. But being a disciple is not about going through a set of material or checking off your list. You know, well, I did that. You know what I'm talking about? I did that. Being a disciple is a way of being. It's a lifestyle. Being a disciple of Jesus is not just going through some program or some class. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It's a way of being. As a church here at Holy Cross, everything we're about involves helping people grow in their relationship with Jesus. Being a disciple is the major way you do this. At Holy Cross, we're not just about creating chair sitters. That's just not what we're about. We want you to have an alive, dynamic, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the best way to do this is by being a disciple. Being a disciple of Jesus. Now, the Scriptures give us a lot of different characteristics of a disciple, and I just want to share some of these with you this morning. The first characteristic is love. Now, if you were listening to the epistle reading this morning from 1 John 4 or the gospel reading, you cannot get around this concept about love. Jesus said in John 13, 35, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another." Love. You can call yourself a Christian all you want, but if you're not loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you're deceived. You're not following Jesus. "By this all men and women, by this all men and women will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another." If someone was to watch a DVD of the way you treat your brothers and sisters here, would they see love? If someone was to listen to a CD of your conversations about people here, would they hear love? 1 Corinthians 13:4, most of you know this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not rude. Stop and frame that one a minute. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. No one's perfect. I'm sure not. We all have our baggage. We all have our shortcomings. We all have areas that we need work on. We all have our different perspectives about the issues of the day. But that is no excuse not to love one another. 1 John 4:20, the apostle writes, "If anyone says, 'I love God,'" I mean, just imagine this, "I love God." You know people that say that. "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he cannot see." A disciple of Jesus loves. A second attribute is a disciple of Jesus is Spirit-filled, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's actually impossible to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you a believer, that makes you a disciple. John 7:38, Jesus said this, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Do you know the Holy Spirit in your life? I mean, do you know that the Holy Spirit is in your life? Do you know it? Disciples of Jesus have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. He is God Himself, literally taking up residence in your being. And He guides you. He leads you into all truth. He counsels you. He gives you wisdom. And He bears His fruit. The Holy Spirit's in the life of the disciple. His fruit will be born. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. The first fruit is what? Love. There we are again. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's like apples on an apple tree or corn on a corn stalk. If the Holy Spirit's in your life, then the fruit of the Spirit is just going to naturally bear. So a disciple has love in his or her life. A disciple is full of the Holy Spirit. The next several characteristics come from a verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which says this, talking about the early disciples. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What is the apostles' teaching? What's the apostles' teaching? The apostles' teaching is what we call our New Testament. The four Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, and all the letters to the early churches, and then the Revelation of John. That's the apostles' teaching. Well, what's the New Testament about? It's the apostles' interpretation of the Old Testament. So we're talking about the whole Scripture here. So another characteristic of a disciple is that a disciple knows and is learning the Bible. Knows and is learning the Bible. You know, folks will say, well, I read the Bible. Well, good. But do you know it? And you never stop learning. There's not a time when we get to where we've arrived and we've got this spiritual knowledge and you've got, because it's the Word of God, God will always speak to you. And something I find again and again, I'm amazed. I'll read a passage that I read maybe about a year ago, but I'm in a different place in my life, and God will use that scripture to jump out, speak to me with exactly what I'm going through. A disciple knows and is learning the Bible. Do you know any of it? Do you know your way around it? Are there any verses that are special to you? You know, it's pretty easy to play church. It's a different thing to get into the Word of God and learn it. Another characteristic of a disciple from this verse is prayer. A disciple knows how to pray, how to talk to God, how to communicate with God. Not just read some historic prayer out of a book, but communicate with the living God. Commune with Him. Have Him talk to you and you talk to Him. Prayer. Another characteristic of a disciple is that he knows how to worship. Worship. This is not just gathering with others and reciting the liturgy or singing some spiritual songs like we've done this morning or some hymns. Worship is humbly declaring God's greatness. Worship is letting go of self and focusing on Him. Worship is surrendering your heart, your mind, your body, your spirit to the presence of the Almighty God. A disciple worships. Another characteristic of a disciple is a disciple walks with Jesus. He walks with Him. I mean, you think about the first disciples for 3 years. The early disciples, they walked with Him 3 years. And then all those who have come after Him walk with Him day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. It's a relationship. Remember, being a disciple of Jesus is not about going through some program or class. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. You walk with Him, and He's with you. Another characteristic of a disciple is that a disciple shares with others in need. Acts 2:44. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Disciples help one another when they're in need. We do what we can, the best way we can, to help each other. In 1 John 3:17, he writes, "Whoever has enough of the world's goods to live on, and beholds his brother or sister in need, and closes his heart against him or her, how does the love of God abide in him?" You see, a disciple shares. Another characteristic of a disciple is a disciple has a disciple. A disciple has a disciple. You're sharing your life with someone. You're sharing your faith with someone. And folks say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You're discipling somebody right now. The question is, what are you discipling them into? You've got a sphere of influence, some people that look up to you, that respect you or whatever in your world, and you're discipling them. Are you discipling them in the ways of Jesus, or are you discipling them in other ways? Who is your Timothy? Remember, you're called to go and make disciples. And some of you have had people invest their time and their energy and their effort to grow you in the Lord, to help you get stronger. Who are you passing that on to? Who's your Timothy? Jesus said, go and make disciples. Another characteristic of a disciple is a faithful witness. Faithful witness. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses." So what's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why does he give us the Holy Spirit? To witness. To be a faithful witness. Now, it's not difficult. A faithful witness just simply shares what the Lord's doing in your life. You begin to do that with people around you. You talk about God being active in your life, God answering your prayer, God talking to you. People are going to listen. They may have a raised eyebrow at first. But then what will happen is some of them will start approaching you to pray for them. Some of them will actually approach you and say they want to know more about this God you serve. And you'll be able to lead them into a relationship with the Lord. Now, these are just some characteristics about being a disciple. But as you begin to follow Jesus, the Lord is going to lead you along this path and cultivate these areas in your life. Praise the Lord, it's not something he expects of us right now that we just have to start doing all these legalistic things. No. But chances are one or more of these characteristics spoke to you in your life this morning. An area you need to improve. An area you need to work on or you need to have success in. Don't ignore it. God wants to deepen his relationship with you. God wants you to grow up and stop being a baby Christian. He doesn't want you to be wimpy. He wants you to be strong in him and have a vital, dynamic relationship. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop navel-gazing. It's time to stop worshiping with a what's-in-it-for-me attitude. It's time to stop worshiping the idol of Anglicanism. Many of us have that. The people of our world need followers of Jesus to go into their midst and be disciples and make disciples. Do you think the Christians of World War II, when they were being carried off to the concentration camps with the Jews, cared anything about how one worshiped or whether one's clothes looked okay or whether a certain hymn or song was sung? Do you think someone who doesn't know where their next meal is going to come from because they've lost their job gives a rip about whether we use the King James or not? Do you think someone who's desperate for meaning and purpose in their life is concerned about whether or not the organ is too loud or the way the drums look? No. People are waiting to see Jesus Christ, and they need the followers of Jesus Christ to be reflectors of him. Not reflectors of our worldly, selfish, and legalistic perspectives. They need people who can speak a word of God to them. They need people who care enough that they are willing to sacrifice some time and money to help them out. They need people who can pray for them and bring God's healing into their lives. They need disciples of Jesus. They don't need religious zealots. They don't need liturgical legalists, as I call it. Or they don't need self-centered hypocrites. They need disciples of Jesus Christ. They need people who have laid self not just at the foot of the cross, but on the cross. People of God, wake up! Wake up! God has given you an incredible opportunity to reach out to our world, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reach out and touch people. With all that's going on in the economy right now, people are vulnerable, they're hurting, they're suffering, their world has been rocked, and God has equipped you and given you the ability to bring help and healing into their life. What an opportunity. So go. It's time to go and be the disciple that God has called you to be. It's time to go back into your world and live for him. Serve. Die for self. Pray for other people. Let go of your pride. Make a difference for God and with God. You can. Get out of your chair and go. Get out from in front of your TV and go. Turn off your computer and go. Get out of your house and go. Is there anybody here who wants to be a real Christian? Then go and make disciples. Why am I so passionate about this? Because I see people, the people of God, sincere, godly people, with their focus all on themselves, arguing about what color the paint's going to be, or arguing how come the door on the church isn't pink, but it's brown. You know I'm being facetious, right? I use that term when people start complaining about, you know, we used to do it this way in our church, and we're not, so I say, that's how I describe it. You know, they're wanting the door to be pink. Get over it. The world is much bigger than these little issues. People are suffering out there, and you are God's solution to their need. Go. What would happen if the next time you're in the grocery store and you see a family in need, and we've seen that, they're at the cash register, and you know they're in need, what would happen if you paid their bill? Or what would happen if the next time you're in a fast food line and there's a young family behind you and you just picked up their bill? What would happen if you got in your car and you went to visit the shut-ins in our community or in your community? Or what would happen if you went next door and actually met your neighbor and got to know your neighbor and then helped your neighbor in their next project around the house? We have a lady in our church. She's a shut-in. She can't get out of her house. And every so often, she calls the church to get the names of the people on the prayer list so she can pray for them. Physically, she can't go. But spiritually, she's gone. She's reaching out. We have someone else in our church who gets the pastoral emails about people that are sick and that sort of thing. And she feels it's her calling to make sure that they get a card saying that they were being prayed for and that they're cared for. A few weeks ago, I was coming home from work. It was rather late. I had to get some gas, so I stopped at the gas pump. And a young man comes up to me while I'm pumping my gas, and he says, "Can I borrow your cell phone?" I said, "No." But I said, "I'll dial the number for you." And he gave me the number, and I dialed, and I realized he wasn't trying to rip me off or steal, so I gave him the phone, and he said, "Dad, I've run out of gas. I'm right here at a gas station, but I can't go any further. Can you come pick me up?" So he hung up the phone, and I stopped pumping gas. I went over to his car, and it was one of these kind of beat-up little cars, and I put my debit card in the machine, and I filled up his tank. And he looked at me kind of strange and weird, and we began to talk, and I said something like, "Well, I'm a Christian, and God loves you." I just left it at that. Now, not a big deal. It cost me about $24 in 5 minutes. Now, sure, I would have loved to use that $24 for something else, but that young man's impression of Christians will be changed. Go. Go and be the disciple that God has called you to be. He has equipped you. He's blessed you. He wants to empower you to touch people's lives, and there's nothing more meaningful than doing that. He's counting on you because that's the way he set it up. His people reaching out. So go. Go and be the disciple that God has called you to be. Go. Amen. All right. Amen.
If you would like to receive a copy of today's message, please visit our website, awordfromthelord.org. And you can also order by writing to us. Our postal address is P.O. Box 636, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Remember, for any amount of love gift, you will receive a copy of today's message. If you would like to contact Dr. Beach with any comments or questions, you can reach him at foleybeach@awordfromthelord.org. That's foleybeach@awordfromthelord.org. The following was a presentation of A Word from the Lord. We hope you've been blessed. And for Dr. Beach, I'm Jeremy Coleman. Until next time, It is our prayer that you would be seeking a word from the Lord.